And we're live.
What's up, everybody? It's Brian Ozone, and you are here for another podcast of the Masters of the Galaxy. And I am here with, I am finally happy again to do a podcast with some friends, knowledgeable people, and a great cast of characters. I am here with Andrew Kay and the Waffle King himself, Aaron Johnson. What's up, guys?
Thanks. Thanks for having us again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, I'm really ecstatic about this crew. I was just talking to my friend Michael about it, and he agrees. You know, it's a big turnaround, and I'm very happy with doing the show with you guys. So let's hopefully continue this awesome journey we're doing together.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me as well. What's up, Andrew? How's your night going, buddy?
I just got off school a little while ago, so I don't know. I think I'm doing good.
Good deal.
Good. Very good. All right, let's jump into what me and Aaron were talking about last week, and Andrew wasn't here, and that was, and I think that Aaron brought up a great, an amazing theory. I don't know what you want to call it, but it was just so cool. Do you want to rephrase what you asked me, Aaron? Because, you know, since it's your question, your theory. I thought it was amazing.
Sure, bro. Yeah, it's so we were talking about different races of Eternia and different, you know, some folks have others of their kind and that kind of thing. And we were talking about that and kind of branched off into Man-at-Arms. Is he truly humanoid? Is he a human, so to speak? Or does he actually have green skin and the white-looking face? Or is that a skin suit, some sort of cybernetic enhancement that he's wearing? But what's your take? What do you guys think?
We're talking about Man-at-Arms, right?
Yes, yeah, the adoptive
father of She-Ra. I mean, of Teela. Are we just talking about the vintage toy or the character himself?
Well, we were talking about, you know, basically everything, and then it came, like the last minute he decides to drop this question. About the vintage toy, you know, he's completely green except for his chin to his forehead, you know, his face basically.
Yeah.
And so, what is your take on that? Like, maybe as a kid with the toy, or now, what do you think about? Could it be? Could he be another race? Could he be could it be like a skin suit that he's wearing to help him be stronger, or like chainmail? I don't know. What's your take?
So I've, you know, I watched the show as a kid, and the show was only one half of the stories, of course. I still also read the mini comics, and, you know, I play the toys that we would get at garage sales and stuff. I always thought that Man-at-Arms is just wearing a green bodysuit. I mean, He-Man doesn't need to wear a bodysuit because, you know, he, after all, has superpowers.
Yeah.
But Prince Adam, his human counterpart, does. He wears white leggings, white yoga pants, if you will. And, I would almost say that Man-at-Arms is the same way as is like Mechanek. Mechanek, I realize, is cyborg, a cybernetic, of course, but he's got that blue shirt on, and I'm just always thinking, yeah, I mean, just like you were talking about chainmail and stuff, you have to wear something underneath it, or else it really just, you know, chafes you. It just gets to you. And so that's literally what I'm thinking that Man-at-Arms has, is he's got like a green undershirt that protects everything. He doesn't want to get, you know, a sunburn on Eternia.
Yeah.
But they suck. So I've never thought of another race, though. I mean, you know, I think even now as an adult, the DC Comics, when they were releasing the DC Comics a few years ago, at the start of their run, they did some of those mini shorts. And they did one where Man-at-Arms is full of himself as far as his technological, you know, I guess, not powers, but his ability to do things with technology over magic. And he just always – I just always makes me think of just a regular human guy who's just really good at what he does.
Yeah, what you're talking about, that comic really made me feel like he was more like a Batman character. with all the stuff that he would do. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. He's a regular human just like Batman, but he has gadgets, he has techno savvy, he just knows what he's doing, and he's got a good moral compass because of it. I think being human roots him in the present and the grounded down to earth type. You know, he tells Teela to stay at home. You know, he does. He's protective of family, and he's a regular guy, I think. A regular guy that is the captain of the guard.
Yeah, I agree with you. I see that.
This is kind of the way we got headed down that route, Andrew.
That's fine.
No, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. In some ways, I guess when I was a kid, I always just looked at it like he was a man, and he was good at, you know, the science and the technological kind of things, but for some reason, I never had an issue with the fact that he had green hands. So we got to looking at that and was looking at kind of the different versions of the toy and the way that he's shown in the mini comics. And so it was showing like with he's got green hands. He's green all the way up to his neck. That part is just strange that.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good. Strange with the fact that the toy, you know, they made sure that the toy had green hands. And I'm sure, of course, for cost purposes at the time, you know, it was just mold that plastic and that's what it was. But when they did some of the later designs of Man-at-Arms, when you look at his Snake Man-at-Arms figure, they do have some cybernetic stuff going on his, you know, green.
Yeah.
So they've kind of went both ways with it, I guess, is where we're going. You know, in the early mini comics, he had green hands. Where you brought up Mechanic, I think even in the toy Mechanic, I think he has like regular white colored hands, like normal skin colored hands, where Man at Arms did not. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the mini comic for He-Man and the Power Sword. And on the cover, you're sure enough, Man at Arms has green hands.
And it's an amazing cover, uncover that story that you just unleashed on the world, Darren. you completely waffled everybody.
Yeah, that was a waffling. So I think it was odd, too, that, you know, I think, and I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the early stuff, I don't think he was portrayed as Teela's father at that time.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
So, yeah, could he have actually been another race of individuals that, yeah, just had a white face and green body. I don't know.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, anything could have been possible at that time for that to happen. And as everything else, it just evolved. It could have. I mean, again, we don't know. It's a speculation, but it's something. I feel it's kind of cool. It's different. I mean, this is definitely a fresh topic. I've never heard anybody even talk about. I mean, I don't know. I mean, honestly,
it is pretty new.
Yeah, it's completely different. And I mean, now did you by chance do any research on any other figures and see maybe there's other figures that can fit in this top in this discussion?
No, I really did. This has been a crazy week, but I thought about it most of the week and kind of kicked in the group a bit to see what folks thought. And, you know, it was kind of mixed. It was like a 50-50 kind of thing. You know, some people would say, well, you know, I view him as wearing a cybernetic suit. Some people said, well, he is a part of the Royal Eternian Guard, and that's the uniforms that they wear.
Right.
You know, and if you go off Filmation and you look at that, I think it kind of is an undersuit. Like Andrew said, you don't want to chafe your armor. You know, you want to have something protecting you. And I think that's true, like with Mechanic and that kind of thing. But I just think it's odd that they specifically portrayed him that way in the early goings, but then it shifted over time.
It did. You know, they changed a lot of stuff, though, during that time. And I'm almost wondering if they're going to reference a lot of this stuff in the next Dark Horse book, He-Man and the Master Universe, A Character Guide and World Compendium. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this book.
Yeah,
it should be really, really good. I mean, they have a lot of content to go back to and uncover. And, I mean, almost 30 years of stuff now, and you know, just in the last couple of years with the new DC stuff, this just in that alone, you know, you have a nice little bit of context to show to the world. So just think with the 30 years of stuff that we have, I mean, just every canon itself could be huge. There's just so many characters and people and places and relics and stuff like that that could be uncovered. So it's going to be an amazing book. Again, Dark Horse, please don't stop. Just keep going with what you're doing.
I know, right?
These Dark Horse books are amazing. Really, like, absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, they announced this book at PowerCon last year. I'm wondering at PowerCon if we're going to have any more Dark Horse announcements. I look forward to it, honestly.
Yeah, it's something that...
Or Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, wherever, as long as they announce something, I'd be so happy because, I mean, it's just the price alone. It's just something to have to reference back to. It's just it's an amazing book to have as a fan of some. I mean, you know, if they did this for any like Batman or whoever, I mean, it's a great source to reference to. You know, it's just really cool to have. There's a lot of material each book that they have. I'm still. I got to go back to the newspaper one, the comic strip.
Oh, dude, it's great. Yeah. I still haven't finished yet, but it's been busy, but it's a really good read. I mean, just like a couple of chapters or a couple sections in, they start to introduce like Blade and Gildor. It's a really good read. For anyone that's out there that hasn't gotten it yet, Amazon, I think, has it for like $19.49. It's huge. I mean, this book doesn't even fit on the shelf with the other books just because it's so tall.
It's big,
A book that big, $20 is a pittance.
Right.
Like, it's a great, great book, though. I really like it. I'm glad I got them.
All of them are really good.
Definitely.
The best one too, still to, for me, is the mini comic book. I mean, just that alone. I mean, if you're a fan, you have to get that book because there's so much in that book. And I mean, for days you'll be reading it. It's just it's amazing.
No,
it's so amazing.
100% agree. The art book is really good too. The art book
is.
I mean, it's really, really good. I will point out that I'm a really big Powers and Honor fan of their book, and so I'm not trying to say this one's better than that one or that one's better than this one. Because it's not the case. They both have their own independent sections about stuff. I'm a big fan of. Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot his name suddenly. Oh, Tim Seeley. Yeah, I'm a really big Tim Seeley fan. So the art book just it has its own voice and it's really 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 good. So
yeah, I was unfortunately there is a lot of similarities to the books. I was really hoping that the P&H book was out way before this, that they would see that and maybe not add as much as the same content. But there is a lot of this same stuff.
There is some, but I mean, there's also a lot of original stuff. I mean,
we could have a lot of cool stuff. Face.
You know the mini comic book is only like $13. I was actually thinking about ordering extras of these for friends because it's a huge book and it's just got all the mini comics on there as the She-Ra, New Adventures.
Yeah. It has the newer ones too that came with the figures, I believe.
It did.
Right?
It's got these in it. Yeah, I got them. I'm looking at them now.
It also has
threw in the classic stuff at the end. I mean, I thought that was awesome that they included those classics minis in there too.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, don't forget, it also has the book, the record book that came. I forget which one it is, but you have that.
The one from Point Dread.
Yeah, right. Dread's in there.
And it's also got the return to from Terra Island, the one that was never released.
Correct. And you also get the other one that was never released, the Smash Blades. From the 2000X for series. So,
right. You do get that one. That's right.
Yeah.
The 2000X one. Yeah.
So they span the entire 28 years, 25 year, whatever it was, 30 years. I mean, you get a lot of content in that book.
For like $13.
$13, $14. And if you have Amazon Prime, you get free 2-day shipping. So
I might need to buy extra too, like a couple guys. These are just really good gifts. I mean, like, I just cannot tell you how much I really enjoyed this book. I've got it next to me right now, everyone, just in case.
Oh, yeah, wait. I usually do have it close, especially when we're going to talk about mini comics or go back in time, because it's so quick to flip and find what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, plus I've been proven wrong a couple times, so I got to make sure I got my source material nearby.
I think it's interesting, we were talking about the Man in Arms discussion, and then you just brought up that 2000X. I was looking in the mini comic book, and there's a panel there where he is talking to Adam, and his suit is very well defined, that it's armor,
Oh, really?
Hands. Yeah, it's you can definitely tell that it's technology instead of something else.
Okay.
Can't even reference where that is, but it has to do with it's when we're in the 2000X comic.
Yeah, when you're looking at 2000X, though, in 2000X, I kind of believe that they made him a little cybernetic, because remember he has the gun that he's got that fits over his hand, and it
right.
almost looks like it halfway reminds me of a larger version of Roboto's gun, or you know, like Trapjaw's gun. It's a huge cannon, and you know, back in the day in the 2000X toys, they even gave it like a missile firing function.
Yeah, they did.
Fire a missile.
Yeah.
And then when they did it in Classics, they didn't do it right away. They waited till they put it in a
battle pack. Yeah, weapons pack. Right.
Yeah. I really think that in some ways you're probably right, that maybe he's not enough of the race, but maybe he's had some work done. But I almost kind of think the work he did, or the work that's been done, was done by him. Because
yeah.
if you think about it, like, he built Roboto. Let's just say that. He built Roboto. You know, if he can build Roboto,
he can make a gun.
I'm sure that he can, you know, fix himself. Hell, in the Fall of Eternia mini comics, he puts himself inside a Roboto battle suit and flies into space to destroy the Horde satellite. And
yeah,
I mean, he's pretty much on top of it. So if he is at all more than human, it's cybernetic, I think. Personally,
that's definitely what you were talking about. One of the things in the DC telling that I thought was really cool, or, you know, as we got into Eternity War, where
yes.
he's actually inside of Roboto, you know, so
yes, that was so cool.
Commanding Roboto. I just thought that was an awesome take.
I think it's because they didn't have a spacesuit and they had to go into space, kind of like, like, you know, we've mastered interdimension travel, we have, you know, new adventure spacesuits, you know, new adventure spaceships, but man, we forgot to develop the spacesuit. Who knows?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Well, apparently, He-Man didn't need it.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
There are a couple places where He-Man's just straight out in space. You know, just.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt, he's right out in the stars, breathing, and it's.
Power, you know, of Grayskull does that to you.
Yeah, he doesn't get sucked in that time continuum.
But I do think there's other spots where he actually has on a suit. So I was looking at the.
I've seen that too. Yeah.
The newspaper one.
Yes.
And it shows him actually have on a suit. So
he's got one of the space helmets on. And I remember reading that and saying, like, you know, I've seen him in space, you know, just, you know, with nothing on. It's that comic strip
naked.
You got to follow the Orion's belt. You'll see him.
Well, there's this, you know, Earl Norum did a drawing for, I think it was one of the Masters of the Universe magazines, where maybe it was one of the posters, or maybe it was one of the cover.
Oh, I love those.
But it has He-Man and Skeletor fighting in space, and they're just sort of, you know, zero gravity floating around fighting. And it looks amazing. I mean, it's an awesome picture because you're out in the middle of the darkness of space, and these two are going at it, and there's sort of asteroids and things around, but you know, no suits for Skeletor or He-Man. Just
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I remember that image, and I almost thought, are they fighting between the Rock Warriors? Like, are they like, did they get like mixed in with the Rock Warriors and get into a fight? Because you know, those same rocks is what Stonedar and Rokkan look like, and he also drew, you know, the Rock Warriors. He drew, there's even the one where Stonedar, I think, is fighting Hordak, and there's a meteor in the sky.
Yeah,
and that looks
yes.
like space, too. Like, I know there's ground underneath him, but that looks like space. Or when Roboto fought the Rotons, it's a very, like, nighttime, like, I'm on the moon kind of look.
Yeah, Earl Noam really did a good job. I wish they would have a book of his drawings. I mean, it might not be able to fill a whole book, but even if they
don't
did,
spoil Dark Horse's next book. I'm just kidding.
maybe we could give him some ideas. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
I
mean,
love for them to do that.
You know, you can have Earl McCarthy's
art book volume
art.
Too.
Yeah, you can have Earl McCarthy's, you know, card art. I can't think of his name. He did a lot of the vintage and some of the classics stuff. Oh man, Rudy.
Rudy Obero.
Obero, yeah.
Yeah,
he did a lot of cool stuff too, man.
Maybe they could even republish the old big illustrated books. You know, those big illustrated
Oh,
books with the poster pages?
Yeah.
Those would be awesome to have in like a hardback form.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I might even buy extras just to cut them out and put them on the wall.
I got to get
Might
on your
cheaper.
Christmas list. Oh, without a doubt, man. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, back on the topic of Dark Horse, there is still so much for them to do. They have
There is.
So many things that they could republish or publish for the first time. I mean,
you have the Power and Honor book, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I figured you have like everything. Do you have the Comic-Con book from 07?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
No, it was only released at Comic-Con. They sold out the first day, first hour. I think they made 500 of them. It was a $50 book that they only had at Comic-Con. It's got art in it.
Yes, I have that.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's got the one
little,
where...
It has the little sleeve on the front that comes off. The little,
yeah, the little sleeve that comes off.
Yeah, yeah,
so if anyone doesn't know about this book, they released a book at Comic-Con in 07. It sold out. I was at the show, and I was in line when it sold out. I was so mad.
Oh,
I ended
God.
Up buying at the show for $130 from some jerks who bought it just to resell at Comic-Con.
You
know
yeah, you get
that
a lot
is.
Of that. You get a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the booths, a lot of the booths that aren't, you know, like a company, but like a little shop or, you know,
they
some guys,
get the guys,
they'll buy
do.
The exclusives and they'll put them out. Well, I had to trace down this book because this book, you know, I
you
wanted it so
it.
Badly. This is before Power and Honor. This is before Dark Horse was
right.
even going to register this kind of stuff. And it has a lot of the same art, yes, from Power Honor and this art book, but it's got a whole section of the future of MOTU, and
right,
they literally
right.
have these anime style Japanese almost look like of a modern version of He-Man, like something that like when Mondo is doing their toys that they still haven't given us when they're going to pre-order is going to happen.
I know,
but,
that's something I'm waiting for.
Yeah, but they had these really cool concepts of what would He-Man look like if he was designed present day for the same genre as opposed to the original. Yeah.
It's interesting. I've not seen that book. I will definitely.
It's a good book, Aaron. You should definitely try to look it up.
It's hard to find. I might have to post some of the pictures on the group later on.
Yeah.
I just go get the book out, though, because that's the only problem.
Yeah, my book is it's pretty I know where it is. Yeah, it's buried.
I know where mine is, too. I just have to get to it.
Yeah, mine's pretty buried. But it is a good book. And again, yeah, I mean, it was the first before. It did come out before Power and Honor and, of course, before the Dark Horse. So to get that book, you know, it was pretty cool, actually, for the first time to have all that stuff in one book. And then the future of stuff, like you're saying, was actually even cooler to see this stuff. You know, now that it's been out for a while, yeah, a lot of this stuff has been shown, especially on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So a lot of people may not want to go and try to hunt it down for the price. I don't even know what it's going for these days, but I'm sure it's not cheap because.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know. I'd have to look it up, which I could do.
Yeah. Look at it. Oh, I don't even remember what it was called. What was it? Was it called the art book or something like that? I mean, Mattel. I don't remember.
I'm searching and I'm not finding a whole lot, which tells. I mean,
it was like 2000. And, oh, I found it. 250.
Okay.
Yeah, it was called the Art of the Masters Universe.
Yes.
SDCC Collector's Book. It was in 2009. I remember trying to hunt it down, and that was just so ridiculous at the show.
Yeah,
but there are three available on. On eBay right now, $250 is the cheapest.
Gotta get some.
Wow! Oh my God! One sold from United Kingdom for $38 in 2009. It was $50 at the con.
Yeah, it was $50. Right? I thought it was $50 or $75. So I mean, $38 is great.
Oh my God! Someone got a deal there.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless, I just it's just so cool.
You check Amazon. You might get it cheaper there too. You know, someone might have thrown it up on there. You never
crazy.
Know. Yeah, but again, I mean, to hunt it down for, I mean, 200 is kind of steep because you do get a lot of the same stuff in the Power and Honor and the Dark Horse, so you might want to save your money.
Yeah. Well, what else are we going to talk about today?
Let's talk about
more toys.
Wait, can I break in for just a second? We have a question from the chat room.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Go for it.
Willis Wheeler is in the chat room on YouTube.
My boy, what's up, kid?
And he wants to know, DreamWorks actually owns the rights to Masters now.
DreamWorks and Classic Media, yes.
Right, and that's how the Voltron deal came about on Netflix. So how long do you think it'll be until that DreamWorks Netflix deal brings a Masters cartoon?
Okay,
that's a great question. Yeah. Go ahead, jump in, bro.
I read an article from 2013 where it talks about the deal that we're talking about, how Classic Media and DreamWorks had partnered up with Netflix, and they were going to start with shows like based on the DreamWorks movie Turbo, and they did the Turbo TV series as a Netflix exclusive. And then they were going to work on shows like Madagascar and stuff like that. And it just supposes that maybe someday they'll get to shows like He-Man and She-Ra and other things.
Right. It's something I think that could definitely, without a doubt, if anybody else, I do see Netflix doing it because they have brought shows back from the dead. Yes. I do see them doing something like this because they do have a lot of the gremlins out searching the web, searching websites and stuff like that to see what chatter is going on about what shows or topics or whatever. So there are a lot of number of He-Man websites, fan pages, whatever you want. There may not be as many as there used to be, but there are still a lot. And
yes,
with Facebook now, you do have a lot more fan pages. So if they do search that, they will see that there is – it's still a huge community, and these people want either a live show or a comic, cartoon, whatever have you, just something that we can watch. And again, I believe if anybody could do it, it would be a Netflix or maybe an Amazon or something like that. If Cartoon Network or something like that doesn't pick it up, because I don't see anybody else doing it. The regular networks don't even have Saturday morning cartoons anymore, or mornings before school cartoons. So
I agree with you. I think streaming services is kind of where everything's going. But like Netflix, one thing that they can do is they can see how many times that particular thing's been viewed. And, you know, so just like Masters getting on there recently and they can see what the interest in that is. And really, the more we watch it and the more that the fans pour over it and actually, you know, stream that particular thing, you know, the more they see an interest in it, and we can drive in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, again, yeah, that's a good point that they can actually see how many times it was watched and clicked or whatnot. And they'll see how much interest is in it, and then they can take it from there into going into a newer show. So I think we're all in agreement here that it's something that could definitely be on the plate. And you know, who knows? Maybe, one of the gremlins could be listening in and seeing that there's, there's chatter here. I mean, I can speak for the three of us. We would love for something like that to happen.
So do y'all remember a couple of months ago when they were talking about Super 7 having the rights to be able to make a She-Ra toy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so do y'all, Brian Flynn said, I guess, in an interview or at a con, that they were working on having the She-Ra name available. But they couldn't use the She-Ra name. It had to be Masters of the Universe. And it's because the She-Ra rights are tied within, Classic Media, I guess.
Yeah, that's what he was also stating about the figures, about how right now it's like a little flopsy.
Yeah, they were saying that they didn't know if they were going to be able to get the rights or not, and they said it was pretty much probably going to happen, but they had to work on it and wait because Classic Media had another deal going on, and from my understanding is that it might be in fact a Netflix deal, and there's no announcement, this is only rumor and conjecture, but I personally believe that there's going to be a She-Ra animated series. I mean, you got to think about it, you know. A company like Netflix, they need as much they need to entice young girls as well as they've got us guys going to it for various things, but it's not always inclusive for both sexes.
Right.
And so I really think that they're probably targeting shows that could work for both. I mean, heck, She-Ra works for guys as well in the same way
that
He-Man works for girls. But I think that they're trying to reach the demographic more. I mean, especially with kid-friendly content, and then putting the He-Man and She-Ra series on there is definitely a good sign of, hey, we're testing, like you said. So I really think that She-Ra is going to hit there maybe in the next 2 years. Who knows? I hope earlier, but
yeah.
I think it's going to happen.
And don't forget, half of the She-Ra Pop episodes, He-Man or somebody
they
in
had to cross
the
over.
Masters. Yeah, I mean, He-Man and his compadres from his show were pretty predominant in the She-Ra cartoon itself. So if that's to happen again, I mean, a Masters of the Universe TV show could happen, you know, and you can have Etheria, Eternia, and so on in it. So I definitely agree, man. I could see this greenlit soon, hopefully, and something that could be huge, huge for Netflix. I mean, this could even bring them going into figures and toys and stuff like that if they wanted
That's
to.
Good.
You know, yeah. I mean, it was
with the with not to interrupt you, Brian, but with the with
it's okay.
The comics themselves. There was a lot of similarities between some of the minis and some of the Filmation episodes. So really, as far as writing goes, there's not a big stretch there. I mean, you could go back and sort of rework some of those minis for She-Ra and get the same thing. I mean,
yeah.
Go back just like in the mini comic book. I mean, that collection of She-Ra comics is monstrous, and there's all kinds of stories that little girls can associate with, and you know, it would work.
Yeah, I you know, even if it is for, you know, a little kid, a little girl, you know, whatever. I mean, I'd still watch it, even if it was, you know.
I would like to see a 2000X She-Ra myself.
That would be actually pretty. That'd be pretty, pretty cool to have. I don't know if that necessarily would happen right now, but that would be pretty awesome, definitely. So I mean, I hope. Willis, I hope we answered your question, because, you know, it's definitely something that we, again, we all agree upon that could definitely happen.
Yep, most definitely.
So if there's no other questions, I think we should talk about the other thing that you brought up, Andrew, about the hunting. So,
Oh, yeah. This last weekend, I was in Austin for South by Southwest, and they have, you know, a big music, movies, technology conference going on. It goes from one weekend to the other, including a week. They had all different kinds of stuff. If you're a Twin Peaks fan, they had a Twin Peaks pop-up that was serving what is it, coffee and cherry pie. They had
really?
A Breaking Bad or Call what's the Breaking Bad spinoff? Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
They had a Better Call Saul chicken restaurant that opened up from the Breaking Bad series that opened up as a pop-up, and you could order yourself some of their authentic chicken. No meth included. And then they spoke, and it's basically an advertising ploy, so there's a lot of advertisers out there and
right.
doing stuff. And in the midst of it is a little itty-bitty gaming convention that happens in the convention center downtown Austin. And they have another show next to it called Flatstock that they sell, like, posters and art. And I love to hit that up. There are some He-Man designs or stuff like that, but, you know, they're not the stuff I'm looking for. So I look at them, I comment, and, you know, you move on. So I'm looking through the video game area, and there's booths selling pops like crazy and a couple Transformers here and there. And this one booth has just, you know, boxed vintage carded vintage.
That's amazing.
It was
fine.
And loose Thundercats and loose Masters, and it was amazing. And I talked to the guy, and he actually goes to PowerCon and stuff.
Really?
So he's someone that we might actually know.
The exhibitor himself, the seller?
Yeah, the seller. He's like, oh yeah, I remember you from PowerCon. And I'm like,
really?
Seriously? That's cool. Like a different state, another half of the country. So but yeah, the guy is really cool. I didn't end up buying anything. It wasn't the vintage or carded that I was looking for my collection. But you know,
I thought you did. I thought you bought three things. Did you?
No, I didn't buy anything. No, I just was. I just, you know, you just never find carded or what am I looking for? Oh man, they're too expensive.
No,
for me
no.
To buy.
That's what I'm saying. Because you said you never find. I said what you're looking for.
I'm looking for some of the obscure. Like, I love the merchandise, man. The merchandise is where I've been seeming to go lately. And then, you know, I'm looking for a couple of the rare figures carded.
That stuff is endless, the merchandise. I mean, can that's what gets me. I mean, I'm always on the hunt for that stuff. To me, that's key, man. I love that stuff. There's just so much to buy, and there's so much out there still that I need. I mean, I have a lot, but there's still – I'm missing a set here or there. And –
Well, like a couple months back, I did find one that was really nice. It was $700 for a carded beat up card, Laser Light Skeletor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found that one. Yeah, $700 is not bad.
Not so bad. It depends
Okay.
on how, if the bubble was broke, though. You know, that's
Yeah.
what would kill me. I could
Yeah.
deal with a broken card, but the bubble would have to be attacked for $700.
Yeah. But that was about the last thing that I found like carded vintage in previously, so it
What,
had been months.
do you remember what country it was from, though? Was it from like Italy or
It
down
was
south?
probably Italian. I think it was Italian.
It
I'd
was,
have to
right?
go look at it, but I'm pretty sure it's Italian and not, it's not Spanish because it doesn't have the book in it or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that book, man. That book was like 150 bucks,
Oh
but
yeah, of course.
I had to have that book, man.
What's in the book, if you don't mind me asking, since I don't know if anyone else here knows about this book, but it looks like a mini comic in the Spanish version of the Laserlight figures. They released what looked like a mini comic, and you're like, ooh, mini comic. Is
Right,
it
right.
new? It's got a different
And
cover.
it had new artwork on it too. It had the I think Errol Noam did it, but it was
Yes. Oh
Dolph
wow.
Lundgren versus a Blade, I believe, right?
Yep, it's a Blade versus a He-Man little mini comic looking cover. But lo and behold, if you're looking for a new mini comic that is relatively unknown, it's not one. What is it?
It's a basically a like a book to show all the toys.
Yeah, it was like a catalog, basically,
A
right?
catalog, right? Yeah.
So you paid $150 for a mini
Just
catalog.
it's very rare though. You know, that's the thing. That's why
Yes.
I had to get it, because it's just so rare and really cool to have, because not a lot of people have it or know what's in it. And there is some pretty cool stuff in it. I have to dig it out and throw pictures on the page, because
Yeah, please do, because I
yeah.
definitely have no point of reference on that. I was looking
It,
trying to
it's
figure
it's
it out.
it's a rare piece, and I got it in
It's
really
rare. So
good condition.
what's actually on the cover of it? What
It's the Errol Norm drawing of the Dolph Lundgren He-Man versus the Blade.
Okay.
I Gwildor might actually be in it as well, I believe. Well, that might be a
Okay.
different picture.
So
I'm sure
it looks like the actual
it's
scene
the
from the movie,
same.
like we've got
Yes.
Gwildor and Manador
Yes.
card.
No. It's He-Man, squaring off with Blade. And I think Gwildor's like a He-Man's legs, if I remember
Yeah.
correctly. The picture, it's out there. You've seen it before. I actually had it as the banner, I believe,
Well, I
for the
just found it
page.
on He-Man.org. So I
All
think
right.
it's Pixel Dan's review of Power and Honor. So it's got underneath it shows episode one Laser Light. And it's got, so we've got the Dolph Lundgren He-Man on the left battling
Right.
Blade
That's it.
and Then it's got Man at
Skeletor.
Arms on the right.
Oh, he is on it. Okay.
Skeletor is underneath. Skeletor looks like he's pointing at He-Man's crotch.
Oh, because he's in the background under his legs,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. I mean, like I said, I ran out of things to, you know what I mean? There wasn't nothing to buy, so I said, the hell with it. I might have got it cheaper than 150, actually. But I mean, again, it was just something that, it was out there, and I couldn't find anything at the time, so I picked it up. And it's pretty cool, because it's the same size as the mini comic too, so it fits in with the rest
Yes.
of them.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
But it's basically just a catalog of what's to come. Like the giants are in it, the lasers are in it. I don't think Hero and Eldor are in it though. I have to check for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's something that if you're a fan and you're looking for stuff, it's something to look out for, because you can get it pretty decently. Just like that other book for $38. You get those sales that people throw it on at a wacky time, and 7 days later, at 3:30 in the morning, it ends. So,
Yep.
people are sleeping and they forget about it. But yeah, that's a cool piece. I actually forgot I even owned it until we started talking about it. It's
That amount of money.
I got to get the pictures up, because it is really cool. But again, I actually think that's with that San Diego card art on the same shelf. So if I dig one out, I could dig both of them out.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what do you Aaron, what do you like collecting? What's your favorite, aspect of toy hunting in
Toy hunting for me here lately has been a lot of different things. I started out, of course, got buried in the classics line, just, trying to collect all that. But
Do you have it all?
no, not at all.
No?
But I kind of started in a weird way. I'm collecting it in an odd way for my son, trying to give it to him the way that my grandfather gave it to me, and just with the mini comics and that kind of thing. So I'm focusing on the core characters to begin with, and then kind of branching out into some mini comic stuff. But What's been more so, I guess, for me recently has been trying to find some things for the waffles that, you know, because we don't do just one thing. So, you know, if we're spending for, you know, a character or a figure, we don't just spend just once. So I like to have a lot of consolation prizes. And some of that stuff has been my focus lately, more just obscure things that you just really don't run across that much.
Okay.
Magazine. Yeah. Mine's mostly artwork, to be honest with you. I love artwork and the books. And
that's like Andrew. I mean, he collects the posters. He's a big poster guy.
Posters, yeah. Anything obscure that I can find. But I did have an incident this past week I thought was interesting as far as toy hunting went. We've got a local comic shop here back in the sticks, and it's the Country Comic Store. It's not really the name of it, but it is. And so back in the woods here, you know, we get a few things in, and I'm always talking to the guy, you know, about Masters, and I know it drives him crazy because he's a Magic the Gathering kind of guy, and I come in and I start talking Masters, and it drives him crazy. But I came in the other day, and he was not in the store. And as soon as I came in the door, I noticed a Skeletor Dorbs sitting up on top of the thing. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, Brian got in some Dorbs. So I go over and I grab that and I'm looking around and can't find anything else. It's Masters. And I go to the checkout and I look behind the counter and there's like 9 Dorbs sitting there. And it's like all of the ones that I need. You know, here's Prince Adam,
nice.
Faker, here's, you know, so he's got them all back behind the counter. So this other guy's kind of screening me here at the checkout, and I'm talking Masters, and I said, oh, so those Dorbs back there, those for sale? And he said, yeah, I think Brian is holding those for somebody. And I thought, well, hell, man, I'm the only person in this area. You know, it's got to be me, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
I went in and checked out, and I went out to the car, and I got the phone out, and I sent him a message on Facebook, and I was like, hey, bro, hey, just had a question about those Dorbs I saw at your store, you know, and he was like, those are not for you. I was like, okay, man, well, you know, if you could give me some, that would be cool. So he says he's going to, but, yeah, I was all pumped up. I thought dude was hooking me up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just rained on your parade, huh? That sucks.
That's gotta suck.
Yeah, well, but that's kind of stuff for me. Here lately, it's been anything obscure, anything I could find. You know, Dorbs have kind of been at the top of the list because they've been a little bit prominent. But
right,
books, artwork,
nice. Yeah, they're always cool. They're always cool to hunt down.
If you're ever looking for something to look up, there's a really, really good poster. This goes for anybody, of course. MondoCon, their first year. No. Must have been MondoCon 2. MondoCon 2, that was the year that they unveiled the large figures that they were going to make of Motu. It was a Masters of the Universe poster they did based on the Problem with Power episode.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And I recommend everyone going to look this up. It's such a bad A poster.
You're you.
it's just an absolute cool poster. If you do get a chance to look at it, it's He-Man in front of a portal with Skeletor and everything on it. But until you see this poster in person, it is just it has detail all over.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Who drew it? Do you know?
I knew like 2 years ago. I don't remember anymore. Yeah. But it's just really cool
looking poster.
They decided to do a poster for just one episode, The Problem with Power. And really? It is just an awesome, awesome print. I have it. I even got it signed by the artist because he was there. And I got picked up one for a friend. It's just it's just amazing. And I don't know how easy it is or hard to find it. But, you know, if you're looking for good waffle stuff, man, buy one in a tube and you'll be fine.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That thing I'm sure goes for good money. So
yeah, 2016 they're saying. Oh no, yeah. Those are the toys. I'm sorry.
No. It's MondoCon Problem with Power, I think.
Yeah, and it gives credits at the bottom, of course, for the Problem with Power episode. So you've got Oppenheimer, Linda Gary, Lucius.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. And
look at that. That
the
is
detail
cool.
In the Skeletor.
Oh my god, yeah.
Especially
yeah, then up top you got Tila and He-Man and the
dude,
Orko.
Look on the sides. If you look on the sides, you'll see the warriors
yep.
on their rides.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
It's got so much detail. I think I found one online that's pretty cheap.
Really?
About what I paid for it. Yeah, there's one for like 65 on eBay right now.
It says Filmation presents the He-Man and Masters of the Universe problem of power. Yeah, look at that. That's a pretty cool nod.
Yeah, it's.
How much was it at the con?
It was
How
like
much?
55 or 60, maybe
Oh, so
70.
that's 60, 65 isn't bad then.
Yeah, no, it's not much of a. I mean, you got to think that someone has to have had it for a year and a half and
Yeah,
not done
man.
anything with it.
Good size poster?
Is it what?
Is it a good size poster? Like,
Yeah,
what's
it's
the
your regular like 18 by no, it's like 24 by 36. It's like a regular movie poster size. I mean, it's a movie poster for an animated episode of He-Man. You can't go wrong. And it looks like it's by Ma Mike Sapatu, I think. Looks like
Okay.
they only made 175 of these, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And they're
Oh, so
hand-signed.
limited. They're
Yeah, they're
limited.
oh yeah, they always everything they make is limited. So they made 175 of these. They're only available at MondoCon in 2016. They're all hand signed and hand numbered out of 175. And you gotta think that they didn't sell 175 at the show because they always hold on to about 25 to 30 of their posters every time they do a print run. So I mean you gotta think there's like really 150 out there. And I have at least one or two of
Why
them.
do they hold a few back for
Oh, they'd hold it back just in case, first off, if they sold one and it's like, for some reason you get yours in the mail or you buy it and there's damage to it.
Oh,
Right. So they
okay.
didn't have damage properly. And what they
Right,
ended up
right.
using that for, that customer service stock, I would call it customer service stock
Right,
mostly.
yeah, that's what I
They
was
hold
thinking.
on to it, and after a while they'll sell them sometimes for like they'll do a raffle or a auction for a benefit, or they'll donate it to something. They do all different kinds of stuff like that. They've got some amazing, like several grand worth posters that they'll do. Like, hey, here's a raffle we're gonna do. Try to get it, like
Right.
Creature from the Black Lagoon. Stan and Vince did a poster that's just ungodly looking from the old 1940s or 50s Creature from the Black Lagoon, and their poster is just so amazing. And then they gave one away on Twitter. I'm like, it's like a $300 poster, and they gave one away on Twitter for fun. Like, hey, let's give away one.
Crazy.
I didn't get one. So,
Yeah, that'd be cool to get one. That's definitely something. Oh,
no
man. Yeah, no, they have a
worries.
lot. Mondo makes a lot of cool posters. They're just expensive. Now I remember why I never got into them. They're really
They're
expensive.
expensive.
Their records are cool that they make though, for like Batman and Superman.
Oh, yes.
They're really cool in the shapes of like their insignias and stuff.
Yep.
Hey.
They actually did a Batman record. No, it's a Superman record that's actually just the symbol. Like, the record's not
Yeah.
round. It's the shape of Superman's symbol, and when you go to play it, you play. It just spins the symbol. Doesn't have any. It's a weird shaped record.
So
They did an
cool.
alien. They did an Aliens record where the actual record was hollow on the inside. There was a green liquid, like green xenomorph blood. Like they do so
Really?
many crazy weird things. Yeah, that
Oh,
record's
wow.
ridiculously expensive, by the
Well, it's
way.
creative though, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, very creative.
Yeah, I really wish that they come, through with these figures, because I can only imagine what the heck is going to happen with them and stuff.
Well, remember Pixel Dan received his turtles just like everybody else, and his first turtle had a problem, a defect. They're going back and trying to fix the rest of the turtles before they ship them
Oh
out.
yeah, I heard about that.
And they
Yeah.
also said because the I like I ordered the turtles from the get-go. Like I was on that like nobody's business. And when I printed them, I mean I had to wait a full year to get my first turtle. So almost a
It did
full
take a while,
year.
right?
So
But
yeah,
now,
so
are the Mondo figures out there though, or are they have they
they've
made
only released one so far to date. Technically they've released two of the turtles. They released one turtle that's Donatello. No, wait, the Leonardo, and then they released the Mousers. The Mousers just came in the mail a couple weeks ago.
I Oh, they came out with the Mouser set?
Yeah, they
Nice.
released a Mouser set that was a timed exclusive, meaning they weren't limited at first, but their pre-orders were only going to be for like 72 hours. And if you pre-ordered it, you got like a rat for the Mousers to hunt.
Oh, cool. How many Mousers came with the set?
I think it came with like two or three.
That's
It's
not
pretty
bad.
cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it
cool.
wasn't as expensive as a turtle, so I got it.
Yeah.
Maybe to put my turtles all together at some point in time with some mousers,
Yeah, definitely cool to have.
yeah, we're
That's.
still waiting on the He-Man Preeter. From my
Oh, man.
understanding, and I don't have any real extra look into it. I don't know. I'm not connected to anybody. From my understanding though, they're just trying to work to make sure that all the past pre-ordered, already paid for releases go well, and then
Okay.
they'll do a pre-order closer to when they're going to release the toys because they don't want
Yeah.
people to have to wait a year for this toy.
Right, and guys, the people who don't know what we're talking about the Mondo Masters of the Universe figures. They're coming out with He-Man, Skeletor, and Faker they showed so far.
Yeah, I think they're 1/5 or 1/6 scale. They're about the the 1/6 scale. They're the size of Sideshow or Hot Toys.
Right, correct. And
they are posable. They have alternate heads. They have weapons. And Skeletor comes with Relay.
That's who it was.
That power sword also, man. That power sword is just phenomenal.
It does look really cool. And I'm very excited. But, you know, it's for myself, they showed them in 2016 at MondoCon. And at Comic-Con last year. So yeah. I've been waiting far too long to not get the pre-order of these, you know?
Yeah, didn't they show the prototypes first at MondoCon, and then they had the colorized last year?
Yes, they showed they showed them at they showed them at MondoCon last October, I guess. But they showed them originally at MondoCon 2015, and then they did, you know, Comic-Con 2016.
Right.
They showed off more of them because they showed a Faker. That Faker looked really good.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere because I wasn't even expecting him. And then I just thought it was like someone playing with Photoshop and took He-Man and, you know, did what they did. But I was pretty shocked. I was like, wow, I didn't even think that was coming out. And, you know, we have a third figure coming, so it's pretty cool. And
well, I love the body sculpts. I'm not a big fan of – I mean, as far as the armor and stuff, I think it looks awesome. But the loincloth is off for me. And I don't know, something with the head, I just
– The head they showed at Comic-Con was a muted version of the one they showed at MondoCon. And in fact, some of these MondoCon photos that you can find online were my photos because as soon as I posted them, like, everybody jumped on my photos.
Really?
Nobody, well, you remember, you and me were talking about it at the get-go back in 2015, but I took these photos because I did not expect them to have action figures. I heard they were going to have some MOTU stuff. They had the poster, and I was like, we're going to do something else. So they unveiled these figures, and these figures aren't, like, on display for everybody to see. They're tucked away in a corner. There was no press about them. You know, no one said, hey, come look at our action figures. They're just sitting there. And so I took some photos, and then everybody jumped on my photos. I mean, I you could even see my face in some of the photos because of my reflection. Like, you could be, hey, look, there's my hat, and there's me. So, I mean, and everyone's like, hey, look what this red, you know, I don't know. It was whatever. But, they were cool looking, and I get what you're saying about the He-Man head. So the He-Man head in these photos looks very detailed and not so much a crazy mullet. You can look at the hair up close in one of these photos, and it's very nice. And then you go to the ones at Comic-Con, and it looks like they butchered his hair. Like, they got the worst haircut or worst hairdresser for him, and that's the He-Man we're gonna get.
Yeah,
isn't he coming with two heads?
Yeah, he comes with two heads, right? I think. Yeah, there's a vintage head and the modern mullet head. And the modern mullet head, I don't know if I care for that much. But hey, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled with that either.
You know what, though? Back to what you said about them releasing a Faker figure. You know, you almost kind of wonder, Mattel made Faker with parts from He-Man and Skeletor, figures they've already created, and they just changed the color scheme on him, right? When they made him for Classics, it was the same way. Mattel goes, hey, you know, we can make Faker as a con exclusive.
Right.
The original Faker.
At first, he was a New York Comic Con exclusive.
Correct. And they unveiled him for Comic Con, and they're like, yeah, it's an easy to manufacture figure. We've already got the tooling done. Let's just put this figure out. So I think Mondo is the same way. Mondo's like, ooh, yeah, let's release Faker.
Yeah, yeah.
We've already got the figure basically tooled. Let's put out Faker. So we're going to get a third character when we thought we were only going to get two. I mean, that's perfect.
I hope, I mean, if they still could do it, if they didn't close the, you know, shut the door on it, is to give the Leo Faker head and Havokstaff and the I don't know what you want to call it, though, the belt or whatever that Skeletor has in orange. And then we have the Leo Faker. I mean, it'd be so cool to have. And you already have the parts made. You just got to change the color and a new head. I mean, you know, a new paint scheme on a head.
They may not be that big of He-Man fans. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not. And talk to us. We'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
But I think the guy who is in charge of their toys is a big He-Man fan, but I don't think he's like, you know, one of us where he follows every
little.
I mean, at the same time that they were unveiling theirs, you know, Sideshow was unveiling their statues that they made. And then they had their art print, and Mondo's not late to the party, but they're definitely, you know, a little behind. Pop Culture Shock also made their statues. Tweeterhead made their awesome busts. I mean, they're getting into the game a little late, and I think they're just at this point in time just trying to play catch up instead of like worrying about having like every detail, you know, perfect. Maybe I don't know. Right. I'm just thinking, no, you know, I
agree with you, but at the same time, they're also trying to be conservative and cautious because they do have problems with the turtles, and it's a high end.
I think it was a very minor problem. I think that essentially a reviewer got a bad one, and there may have been like a small percentage of other ones, but because, you know, a very famous reviewer, Pixel Dan, got one that, you know, it caused other people concerns. I know that as soon as I got mine, I had to open it to make sure that I didn't have that problem. And no, I didn't have that problem. And then I'm like, oh, good, I can breathe again. But
what was the actual problem?
The katana holder broke off the belt and broke off the back of him. And I mean, that could be a shipping error. That could be, you know, bad plastic. And so I think they're just trying to go forward to make sure that they have like that they reduce the 1% that might be damaged to like a 0.5% or whatever. I'm wondering if they made extras to, you know, I mean, they do that for posters, but posters are cheaply not cheaply printed, but they're not as expensive as a large scale action figure.
Because
those figures were $150, $160. So, yeah,
It's not cheap at all. And then, you know, the accessories and stuff that come with it too, and the packaging and whatnot. So it is expensive to make and produce.
Yeah.
So I agree. You know, you want to get it right. You want to give the fans something that they're going to be happy with, that they don't have to return or what. You know. I get it. I mean, I something that I want all the time. I don't want to buy something that's broken or I got to return.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it happened to me once already from something from Maddie. I had to return, and it sucks that you get something and you're waiting and you're excited, and then you're like, oh, great, I got to bring it back.
With that price tag, you don't want that stuff to be.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I think they're just buying their time to make sure they have enough on hand. I heard Relay might be like an exclusive if you pre-order within the first like 48 hours or 72 hours. That seems to be the
thing.
They make something exclusive for the figure. Like originally they were going to have a limited number of exclusives, but like with the Ninja Turtles, people complained because, you know, they only made like 500 of the exclusive versions, and everything else was going to be, you know, the regular version. So I think they're going to do, you know, as many pre-orders as they get for the He-Man and Skeletor, they'll get the exclusive extra pieces. So I don't have a connection to them. On that same note, if anyone at home listening wants to look up something else that Mondo did in He-Man, Mike Mitchell is an artist who does these portraits, and they did a He-Man and Skeletor portrait that they released at Comic-Con maybe 2 years ago, and I've recently framed the Skeletor, which is on my wall, and it's just gorgeous. You can look up Mike Mitchell, Mondo, Skeletor, and it's just a side portfolio. It's just his hood and his skull face and his red piercing eyes, and then He-Man with his mullet and the sides of the power harness. But it's just so gorgeous. I got He-Man. I don't have enough space for. I had to make space for Skeletor though.
Yeah, just pull that up. That's pretty sweet.
Oh my god! Yeah. Anyone at home listening, they need to pull it up. It's gorgeous.
That's a poster too, or
they're two posters. They're two posters. So Mike Mitchell does these portraits. He's been doing a lot of Star Wars ones actually at South by Southwest. Mondo did an art gallery of just his Star Wars portraits, and like the Greedo portrait goes for like $1,500. Like, not even joking.
Like, yeah, some of them are like side profile, or
they're all side profile. They did Mad Max, they did Beetlejuice, a lot of Star Wars ones. When they go on sale, they're very easy to get, but after you miss out on them, they're stupid hard.
That's it, right?
Yeah, and I ended up getting them at the show when they dropped. I was like, what? He-Man and Skeletor at Mondo? Let me pick this up. And that's when I got clued that they might have some at MondoCon that year. But
cool.
But yeah, no, just stuff to look at online yeah. while you're, you know, busy not doing work.
Right. All right, guys. So that was a good show. Any closing opinions or anything you guys want to say before we close it out?
Ooh, another thing to look up real quickly here. If you guys like Jason Edmondson, do you guys know who Jason Edmondson is?
Not off the top of my head.
If you look at the reaction style Motu figures, he's the one that does the backer cards. Okay, you know, the really cool images. And okay, he did the Skeletor over the hearth for Super 7. You know, their framed Skeletor drinking a glass of, what is it, brandy or something on top of a cringer rug. Well, he did these eyes without faces, and he did these two Mondo cons again, at the same time that Mondo was doing their He-Man stuff, and he did action figure eyes. And so it's He-Man, really? Action figure eyes, Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, Beast-Man, and Orko, and they are the eyes of the action figure replicated in this little rectangular. I have all of them. They're just super cool, but they made them for, like, everything. But just something else to look at that Mondo had a part in, and Jason Edmondson, and some of these other really big artists. I really like art, and again, that's why I like the Dark Horse art book and the newspaper strips. And I don't know.
Feel you. I feel you. That's all me, brother. I feel you.
Exactly. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Give you guys the audience something to look at. Aaron, do you have anything to say, bring up, or anything?
I'll give you a shout out, give you somewhere to go. You know, we always talk about the waffle groups and stuff, the Waffle Mafia and all that good stuff. But there is a group, I think I mentioned it last time, that has spun off of those groups called The Great Unboxing. And basically what that page is it's simply a page for folks to show off their collection and take things out of the box. So this week I got a Procrustes in the mail, and I went ahead and popped my cherry on the Great Unboxing and went live and took Procrustes out of the box. So you can find that video on there of me doing that, and there's just tons. So the guys go live, and they will it's not Motu only, so you know there's plenty of other things there. There's Marvel and some other stuff, but anybody who wants to show off their collection or wants to open something live and show it to somebody, those guys, that's a cool page.
That sounds cool. No plastic prisons there, huh?
No.
All right, so thanks, guys. Yeah, right. Thanks, guys, for doing another great show. Thanks for the listeners. Don't forget to always go to popculturenetwork.com, where you can find this and you know previous shows we did. Please don't forget to come to the Master of the Galaxy Facebook page and always tell us about the show, what you like, don't like, anything you want to tell us, secrets, things we messed up on, things that we want to talk about, you want to hear, you want to come on the show, let us know. Check out HemanWorld.com, HemanOrg.com. If I'm forgetting anything, sorry. And we will see you next week, guys. Until then, rock on, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Good luck. All right. Peace.